Could we start tonight by singing the first verse of song number 405, please?
405.
I desire your prayers tonight. We're just a few hours away for the end of this year. Do you remember where you were 10 years ago tonight? Many of you maybe would say we were here at the assembly meeting. I wasn't. That night I was at the office building in Oklahoma City. Have you forgotten about Y2K, the fear that was on our country of what would happen when the clock struck 12 10 years ago tonight. I remember for months before it reached that day, they were saying, and it's strange to me, I don't know much about computers, but it's strange to me if they thought they were so great that they didn't plan for them past the year 2000. But I remember them coming in, everything had to have adjustments made on it. And there were price tags to all of it. But as we got in closer to that time, there were fears, not just we're out to get your money, there were fears of what would happen. There were people predicting that this is going to be the end of all things. At work, they were telling us, load up the diesel for the generator. Make sure you have plenty should this happen. That night, I was at work blowing up an air mattress to stay there all night long for just in case what happened. Tonight is a night of celebration. New Year's Eve, lots going on. It was that night. In downtown Oklahoma City, on New Year's Eve, our building is open. It's intended to be a family atmosphere for you to come through, kind of a festivity spirit. That night it was kind of a solemn mood to it because there's fears to what may happen at midnight. I remember as it started getting closer, you know, when our midnight happens, the East Coast has already had it. So I remember the relief that people were feeling when the news came in, it's midnight on the East Coast and nothing has happened. There were fears that the nation would be shut down, the power grids would be shut down and power would be cut off. Remember that? It's so easy to forget it. But then, as it moved a couple maybe time zones, by the time it got to us, it was almost back to that festive atmosphere. It didn't happen there. So it won't happen with us either. After that, we all kind of relaxed. The United States did for about a year. And in 2001, when the Trade Center came down, we became a praying nation. No one that I know of at that time was no longer interested in pulling down the Ten Commandments out on the courthouse lawn. We were all in desperate need. Didn't know what the future held. You remember that day? When it's one building goes down, a few minutes another goes down, then we hear about Philadelphia, then we hear about in Washington, and then you wonder, what's next? People went to praying. Attendance at churches went up. This thing is getting troubling. The end could be coming. What am I going to do about it? But time passes and America relaxes. Yes. And maybe we would say they almost yawned. It's over. Things are going to return as they have been in the past. I'd like for you tonight to look at a verse, something we've all heard throughout our life. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this verse, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. It goes on down and lets us know why that's happening. He's not willing that any should perish, so he's holding off that punishment. But in the 11th verse, for those who are concerned, for those who care about his coming, it tells us what we need to do. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And this was written over 2,000 years ago. Yeah. It's still just as true today. When 2,000 went by and nothing happened, when 2001 went by and we've all settled down again, to those of us who are concerned, we need to be on guard. We need to be just as serious about this verse. I still know these things are going to be dissolved. So what manner of person do I need to be? If it goes another 100 years, this verse is still true. The end is coming. To those of us who are concerned, don't ease up. Be careful. What manner of person do I need to be? The devil is interested in distracting me from taking a serious inventory of who I am. And will I be prepared when that time comes? Here's one of those distractions. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. You know, the United States today is still considered a Christian nation. So much is acceptable under the name Christian today. It's no longer going to be safe for me to measure myself by the standard of Christianity in my country today. Do you remember just a few years ago, people wore a little bracelet, had on it WWJD. You know, I'm glad they did. We need to have it stamped on our heart today. It's kind of like that has died away some. Yeah. Kind of like it was a fad that came for a little time and then went away. What would Jesus do? I need to have that not just around my wrist. I need to have it around my heart. Amen. And each thing that comes my way, what manner of person do I need to be? It's not safe to measure it by what other folks are telling me is okay. I need to measure it against something else. What would Jesus do? Because I tell you, the boundaries today of what God will accept, they're becoming blurred. Right. Have you noticed that almost no one is unsaved anymore? The boundaries have just been adjusted. Right. What I used to know to be wrong is no longer wrong. And yet the call is still out there. To those who are concerned, what manner of persons ought you to be? Don't be distracted with it. To the young people, I want to tell you tonight, what are your boundaries? What have you allowed in your life? And I want us to think about this. It's almost 8:30. We're going to be going into a new year, just a few hours. Unless we have something to measure against, we can kind of get like those people that say, things have just been continuing the same all along. How will it be different? But I want to ask you, young people, if you knew with a certainty, and you know really this is for old and young alike, if I knew for a certainty at 12 o'clock tonight, as they were concerned 10 years ago, if I knew for certain all things will close out at 12, do I have anything that I have taken on, that I have justified, that I would not want at 12 o'clock? If so, change it now. If nothing happens for the next 10 years, you'll not regret it. There's another verse. In Ecclesiastes, to the young people, 11 and 9, should you choose otherwise, it says here, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Kind of like it's opening up. Should you so choose, do it however you want to. Live life how you want to. But remember this, know thou that for all these things, God's going to bring you into judgment. It's going to happen to us all. And unless I can bring it down into my heart at my age and realize it's coming, where is the sign of his coming? We've heard it all our life. But I want to tell you something. I've heard it preached since I was a child, and it hasn't happened. But you know what? In the last 10 years, among the people that we know in Guthrie, today I've been thinking, there's at least 20 that are gone.
That's right.
Out in the great unknown, and the earth still stands today.
Yeah.
In that 10 years, both my parents are gone. Just this year, at least 6 from Guthrie. So what confidence do I have in thinking all things have continued the way they were from the beginning? They haven't done it. They're changing. We sang that song at the beginning, eternity draws near as time moves on, when earth shall disappear. That takes on another meaning now. It's been disappearing for folks over the last 10 years. And there's a good chance that it'll disappear for me before time comes to an end. I need to be very careful. There's another verse that I want us to look at in Matthew. If I could just know the day. If I knew that it was 10 years from now on New Year's Eve, what would I do about it? You know what? I would probably wait until just before that time and then try to rush with it. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the 42nd, 24 and 42, watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And I'm convinced tonight, every one of us under this building, if we knew, if we could be told and have a belief and know that it's going to happen, if we knew that it's going to happen tonight at midnight, I could sit down. It would take care of itself. But it's that not knowing, and the devil working with that not knowing, is where my danger is.
Yeah.
This says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. How am I going to be ready? Do you remember in 2 Corinthians, in the 7th chapter, 11th verse, It says those folks that sorrow after a godly sort, there's something that starts happening in their life.
Yes.
Not just at the time I'm at the altar, but it's going to do it from that day forward until I go out to meet the Lord. Here's some of those things that happen. What a carefulness it wrought.
Yes.
A carefulness in my life. I don't want to do anything to take a chance of not being ready. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, he's coming. What clearing of yourselves. Do you remember when you first got saved and the Lord could deal with your heart and you'd quickly go back? I would quickly go back and take care of it because I don't want nothing here to hinder me. But you know, we can keep on living. We can even start measuring ourselves by those out in the world that say, I'm ready to make heaven our home. And I can say, well, I believe I'll make it. I believe I can make it. I'm doing better than they. Don't do it. Don't measure yourself by others around you. What vehement desire, a strong desire. They're going to take it by force. I'm not going to just play around with this thing. I'm going to make heaven my home. I'll do whatever I have to make it. So with these thoughts, I've got a question for you. Are you, am I, almost a Christian? Or am I altogether a Christian? How willing are you? How willing am I to live on the edge and hope I make it? Are you willing tonight to almost make heaven? I have an example for you. I work in an office building in Oklahoma City. Two buildings together. One is 16 stories, one's 21 stories. Because of how these buildings are built, there are 28 roofs on them. Some of those roofs have a parapet wall that's 4 foot high. I have no fear walking up to that wall, leaning on it, and looking out over the city. There's some other roofs right on the top of that building that are about 3 inches high. I approach those edges when I need to work on it, and I usually only approach them if I need to work on it. I approach them in a different way. There's a manly way to do it, and that is just walk up to the edge and look over, maybe even have your arms crossed. I don't do it that way. There are other buildings taller than us, and I'm sure there's been people watching when I approach that roof to work on it. From about 10 feet, I get down and crawl. If that doesn't seem safe enough, I have no fear to lay down flat on the ground. Why is that? I want to put a distance between me and almost. I don't want to take any chances. I might could stand right there. One reason I don't take a chance is it's windy in Oklahoma. I don't know how much wind it would take to push me over, nor do I take the chance. For us tonight, how willing am I to live on the edge and say, I don't think I'll go over? Eternity's coming, folks. And when you enter it, there's no return. It's not something that you say, I messed up there. So in 7 years, I'll get to come back and redo it. It's over. I want to give you some examples of almost. Let's look in Mark in the 10th chapter. We heard about this already in the meeting. The rich young ruler. Mark 10. And 17. Don't want to read all this, but remember when he came to Jesus and said, what do I need to do that I'll be able to inherit eternal life? And he lets him know, got the commandments out there that you've had all along. What you've been doing with those? I've been obeying them from my youth. And he lets him know, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. This is a reason that we cannot afford to measure ourselves by others. Because the Lord is going to be faithful in his desire for me to make heaven. He looks down in my heart. And he sees legal things that are going to be a hindrance to me making heaven. This is what happened in the rich young man's life. The Lord looked down, and I don't know of another place that he told everyone. He didn't tell us all to do this. He told him because he looked down in his heart, and he saw this thing is going to be a hindrance to him to inherit what he's wanting, eternal life. So he tells him, sell it. Get rid of it. And if you want to be perfect, do that. And it goes on down and lets us know when he looked at it, in the 22nd verse, he was sad at that saying. How many of us tonight, we want to make heaven? I want to inherit eternal life. What about for myself? When the Lord comes along and says, okay, you want it? You still got one more thing you need to get rid of. Do I look at that and say, am I sad? Am I grieved? Do I go away because that's the very thing that I was hanging on to? You know, we could say of him, he almost made it.
Yes.
Almost is not good enough.
That's not right.
A few years ago, many of you will remember, Saturday morning, a beautiful day, space shuttle was returning to Earth.
Yes.
Missions that had been done times before had no problem. They're only minutes away from home. But as they re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, those tiles that had been intended to protect them against the heat that would build up, just a few were gone. And that shuttle came apart and disintegrated. You remember that morning? I remember standing on my porch when I heard the news and looking at the southern sky and thinking, how could it be? They found pieces in Texas. They found pieces in Louisiana. We could say that space shuttle almost made it. Almost is not good enough. What about you and I tonight? If called into eternity, would it be said of me, he almost made it? I've lived long enough now to know of people that said, I have no intention of being lost. I have every intention of making it. I want to look at another story. Matthew 25, and this is another one that we've heard all our life. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. 10 people who made it their purpose. I want to make heaven my home. I've started out. Remember that song that we sing sometime? Used to sing it. I've started for heaven and I'm going through. I could kind of think of all 10 of these singing that song. Pure. The only thing that I see that stood out in the way of 10 not making it was time. Because it said later on of those, our oil has run out. 10 of them had oil. I would like for us to think tonight, just bring it down to our level where we live. 10 of us. This said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. 10 people that started out. I've got a desire to make it. I'm going to make it. The difference between the wise and the foolish was that the wise prepared for a longer time of waiting. They had enough oil to still have a supply when the call came. How long have we been waiting? 2,000 years and plus since the Lord said, I'm coming back again. And yet I want to tell you, that really doesn't matter anymore because he's going to come back for me maybe sooner than that. We really need to all take our mind off of when the end of all things will be. Because there's a very good chance, it could be, that it won't even be in our lifetime. And you know what? That does not even matter. If tonight an angel would come down and say, it'll be 150 years before the end comes, what would you say? Would you let up? Don't do it.
No.
We've had 20, in this congregation. Go. I think of one, Sister Williams. No idea she'd be gone. I remember when Curtis came down sick, just a few days after his sickness, we took her there to be with her son, to be a comfort and a help to him. Little did any of us know she would be in heaven in just a few days. So, should I spend much time worrying about when the end of time will be?
No.
My end is coming. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. We're living in a dangerous time for saint and sinner alike. With all the determination I have that I want to make heaven, the devil's got a plan. And he would like, by the time I'm called out into eternity, he would like for my oil supply to have run too low to carry me through. I wonder, had the bridegroom delayed longer, would the percentage have been greater of those that's lost? What about us? Is it going to matter for me if it's another 50 years before the Lord comes back? It shouldn't. I need to live every day with a carefulness. I'd like to go to another verse in Acts. Am I altogether? Where's my determination? Acts in the 26th chapter. And in the 27th verse. You remember where Paul had been reasoning with Festus and King Agrippa? And in the 27th verse, he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I am so close to being there. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether as I am. That's our desire tonight, that we would not be just almost. I believe I've got time, because almost can give me a sense of security. I haven't said I'm not going to do it. It's just not tonight, because I've still got some time out ahead of me. Here in the commentary, when I read this about being almost and altogether, it says Paul well knew there was neither happiness nor safety in being almost a Christian. And he desired, therefore, that they would give themselves, as he had done, entirely and altogether to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his desire that they would not be just almost, but that they would be altogether. We heard earlier in this meeting a message on, are you in? I'm in. And not just tonight, but tomorrow night. 10 years from now, as New Year's Eve comes on again, that I'm still in. Yes, the Lord has corrected me. He has chastised me. He has shown me places I need to move up, and I've done it. I want us to look, in closing, at another verse. Because it's the Lord's desire that I not be almost. In 2 Peter, the first chapter. Folks, we don't have to go through life almost. In these first verses, he gives us some things to add to my life.
That's right, brother.
If I will start adding this one, add to knowledge, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue. Virtue, knowledge. That's to this man that says, since I know he's coming one day, I'm going to be careful of what manner of person I am.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start adding some things into my life. Goes on down into here, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming down now, where if it's going to go out into eternity, is it all right for me to be almost, or do I want to be altogether? In the 10th verse, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Folks, in this time that we're living in, a guarantee that has a backing is great. We have this guarantee. You add these things into your life. You realize that you won't be here forever. You add these things into your life. It's guaranteed. You'll not fall. But look at this next one. Even at that, am I going to just squeak in? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm not able to tell you tonight that the end will come at 12 o'clock, nor will it 10 years from now. I know there was a fear 10 years ago. But I want to tell you something. There's a song. You'll have to make up your mind which way you'll go. But there's a song that says, there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. And it whispers, draw closer to me. I'm going to get to choose. When he whispers that, will I settle for almost? Or will I say I'm in? I'm going for it altogether. It whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb. Folks, let's not compare ourselves among others that say I'm a Christian. Nor do we have to decide where they are on the Christian walk. We are responsible for ourselves. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb. And a new place in me you will find. The choice is mine. Will I be almost or will I be altogether? Because this is mine now. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. Remember, Joshua, choose you this day who you'll serve. Will it be the gods that are over on this side or will you serve the true God? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. My desire tonight at the end of this year that we would not be almost but altogether. I desire your prayers.